For those of you who are just joining us over the media, we're turning over to Revelation chapter 13, no, Revelation 12. And we appreciate each one of you who is joining us in prayer this week. And God hears your prayers along with our prayers, as though you were here with us. And we love you, and we're glad that we can at least be connected through the medium. I wish you could have been here for this time of worship. Now, we've been talking about the battle that it is to follow after Jesus. The battle it is to do anything to go forward with the kingdom of God. And how the devil does not give up an inch of ground without an amazing fight. So that for us to do any good thing, anything in the right direction, even just simply turning about to begin walking in the right direction, even that brings a most amazing spiritual resistance. There's an amazing battle that takes place even just turning around or thinking about doing what is good. Remember, the Lord said that all those who desire to do right will be persecuted. He didn't even say those who do right. Those who just desire to do right will be persecuted. And it may be physically among your friends or those close to you, or it may just simply be spiritual. It may just be an oppressive spiritual battle that takes place as you begin to try to do what is right or even desire to walk after God. Now, here's a question for you. Why is it like that? Why is it that to take any steps in the right direction, we will encounter severe resistance? Why is it like that when God is absolutely, utterly sovereign? When the Lord has made his enemies to be his footstool? When the Lord God could unmake Satan by the breath of his mouth? There is no battle between God and the devil. This is not Star Wars. There's no battle between the Lord of Light and the Prince of Darkness. Absolutely none. There is no contest. God has turned his enemy into a slave so that the devil does nothing apart from bring glory to God. Everything that he does, just like with Job, everything he does goes through God's filter and is turned to the good of his body and of his the glory of his name. So if that's the truth, which it is, why do we encounter such stiff resistance when we try to move forward in God? If it wasn't like that, if God had not designed it that way, if God had so ordained that whenever we would speak or we would pray, that the way would open before us and we would move forward without hindrance, if he had set it up like that instead, he would have in his kingdom right now a whole bunch of flabby-faced Christians. They would have no faith. They would just simply know that if they want to do something right, they just speak it or they just pray and the way opens. And the minute they encountered some trouble, they would be laid waste. Their walk would be toast. God, in His sovereignty, has ordained that there would be resistance to every single footstep of following after the Master, so that He might prove our character. So that He might prove our character, that we might grow strong and confirmed in our determination to follow after the Lord, no matter what the cost. Those who make that determination in their heart, they have turned around, they have started to follow God, they have been slapped in the face, they have been smashed over the head, they have stumbled and fallen into a pit, they have been attacked on every side, and those who get up and say, I'm following the Master, these are the ones who have become pure in their faith, and these are the ones to whom it will be said, well done, good and faithful servant, because you have overcome. You have overcome. The Lord would not have ended each letter to the churches in Revelation with, to him who overcomes, I will give him a white stone with my name on it. To him who overcomes, I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. That overcoming is dealing with that intense spiritual opposition and resistance which comes when we decide to move forward in God. And if we will say in determination, I don't care what happens to me, I don't care what the cost, I don't care if I lose everything, I don't care if people mock me, I don't care if they think I'm an idiot, I'm still following the Lord. This is the overcomer which the Lord is speaking about, who will become His chosen one, who you'll be glad to say, this is my son, this is my daughter. In the face of all the opposition, they have overcome. Remember, the Lord Jesus Himself learned obedience through suffering. And the last line of the paragraph that I read during our worship time, it says, he who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly, the abominable, the murderers, the immoral persons, and sorcerers and idolaters, their part will be in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. So those who turn back when they meet the resistance, those who turn back when they are filled with arrows, those who give up, they will be assigned the same place with murderers and idolaters, which is a very strong word, isn't it? God expects us to hold fast, to hold on, to persevere, to endure to the end. Back in World War I, we have an amazing example of these things. The French and the English were in the trenches trying to withstand the German onslaught. and they were living in the most horrid conditions imaginable. Almost beyond description what they were living in. And they were absolutely overwhelmed in every way. They were brought to the point of utter defeat to this degree that the marshal of the field decided to go back to Germany to fetch the Kaiser so that he could come back and march in and take the victory for himself for winning the war. But the French and the English, they held fast. And they wouldn't give up. Under the most horrible conditions, they would not give up. And during the window where the marshal went back to get the Kaiser, God sent the American and Canadian troops in like lightning. And suddenly, in a matter of a few months, the tables were completely upset and the Allies prevailed. Now that's a good picture of these last days. It is right now, but it will be increasingly so, more like this. And God is going to expect us to hold on with a superhuman faith, a superhuman perseverance, to hold fast under very difficult conditions. And that perseverance begins right now, as we begin to stand fast in the face of the circumstances God has presently put us into. Holding fast, not giving up, persevering, so that our muscle of faith and our confidence in God begins to grow and become strong. So that when those days are upon us, we will rejoice. We will rejoice. And perhaps we may even dance in the fire. Revelation chapter 12 says, verse 10, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before God day and night, and they overcame them because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and that they did not love their life even to death." And that is what God is calling his people to do right now. He is calling them not to love our lives even unto death. He's calling us to despise the things of this present world, to care nothing for them, to lay down the things of this world, worldly security, worldly comfort, the praise of men, the approval of men, all the things which hinder us and slow us down, he's calling us to become dead to it. Dead. And for those who resist that, God is going to just simply take it away. He's dealing very gently and very mercifully right now with those who he has truly chosen, those who are of the bride of Christ. He is dealing very gently with them. He said, let go. Let go. Let go. Let go. Really good example, personal experience. We had a beautiful inn at a restaurant down in Massachusetts. One night the Lord said to me, "You are neglecting the word of God for waiting on tables. Let it go." And I didn't. The Lord was being very gentle with me. Had I let it go when he said to, we would have paid all of our debts off and we would have left with a clean, total clean slate. If I had followed him in his advice, let go of the world. We had the most beautiful place imaginable. This place is truly a shack compared to the place we had in Massachusetts. God said, let go. That was not an easy thing to do. That was a pretty bold thing for God to ask us to do. But he was serious. That's the point I'm making. God was serious when he said to let go. He meant it. And when I hesitated, God said, okay, I love you too much. I'm taking it. And after a short period of time, when I didn't let go right then, he took it. And it was under the most unusual and unnatural circumstances. Our bank took our mortgage when we were not behind any payments. And they would not be stopped in any way. Now that's unusual, isn't it? That's because God was behind it. And he just took it. And since then, we've been ministering the word ever since. Well, I'm just one person. We're just one family that loves the Lord. You guys all love the Lord too. And God has a plan equal to whatever he has for us because we all love God. You say the same thing. Let go. Let go of the world. Let go of the world. Let go of the world. Take hold of him. Place your gold in the dust. Lay it down among the stones of the brook. And the Almighty will become your gold and choice silver to you. That's what God is calling us to do. And those who do that are going to walk through the last days. You're going to walk. You're going to walk through it. It will hold no terrors to them. Because God will be their gold and choice silver. So what I want you ask us to do tonight is to persevere in prayer, because as we have been praying for revival these last 8 days, or however many it's been, well, we've just encountered a tiny bit of resistance in spiritual battles in the midst of it. People have been getting attacked left and right. I want to encourage us tonight to persevere in prayer and to overcome. So let us enter into a season of prayer. Let's pray for our communities. Let's pray for our home churches. Let's pray for our province, our state, and our two countries. That God would visit and restore righteousness, because righteousness is a gift that comes from heaven. It's not something that we trump up. It's not something we work up. It's a gift that comes from the Holy Spirit. And he will be granted. It will be granted to us if we ask with persistent prayer. So let us now have a season of persistent prayer and see what God will do.